better guy than Moses? What better guy to bring them a recollection of all of these things than their man? And their man is Moses. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender. The Revelation series right here. Kids in Israel had posters of Moses on their walls. Everybody wanted to be like Moses. So, you see, it is genius of the Holy Spirit, what do you know, to bring up here in Revelation the Song of Moses. Because as soon as the name Moses is mentioned, Israelites perk up. Moses, he's our man. He's going to defend us. And it's actually Moses who, in a song, predicts the coming of judgment and predicts the outcome of the judgment, which we're going to look into today. And so it is, again, pure genius that the Holy Spirit would do this. Makes me think that the Holy Spirit's kind of smart. And it makes me think that the Israelites then will realize, didn't Moses himself said, one will come after me? There's a verse in there. One will come after me who's greater than I, worship him. John the Baptist said something like that too. But Moses said that, a greater prophet than I. And Jesus Christ was a prophet. Don't get upset by me calling him a prophet. So this was all to remind Israel. And most of Israel who don't get it, they're going to be standing at the great white throne. They're going to be reminded of these things, that they had the information. They will say, well, we know Moses, we love Moses. Moses told you to look for another one. Well, we do this, we do that. Oh, here's the verse that says you really don't, you know. We obey all the commandments. They can't even obey the first commandment. Love, you shall have no other gods before me. And they couldn't do it. They had many other gods before him. It's one of their fatal failures. But as we wind up here, we are in the Song of Moses. We're looking at Israel restored and blessed. The Song of Moses, again, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here is verse 42 of that chapter. It's a long chapter. Be glad, O heavens, simultaneously with him, and let the sons of God worship him. Shout for joy, you nations, with his people. Isn't that something? The nations and his people are the ones at loggerheads here in the book of Revelation. The nations will be surrounding Israel. They are enemies today. Many nations are enemies with the Jews. And so this verse is an amazing verse. Shout for joy, you nations, with his people. They're going to be shouting for joy in that day because Israel will be the channel of all blessing to the world. All the nations will know God through the mediation of Israel. They are a royal priesthood, this nation. And be strengthened in him, all sons of God. A little hint about us in there, maybe. For the blood of his servants shall he avenge. All right, boy, you know, we get four verses where we're feeling kind of good, and then the last four verses, it's almost like shoving us back into the judgment here. But I think this page, this verse we're turning, is the judgment of the nations. Let me know what you think about this. I think this is when Christ returns to judge the nations. It's like we had the promise there, be glad, heavens, let the sons of God worship, shout for joy, nations. It's like that's the preview of what good is coming, and now we're going to see how we get there, which is, for the blood of his servants shall he avenge, and vengeance will he return to his foes, and those who hate him he will repay. And he shelters his ground, his people. Holy ground, holy people. Holy land, holy people. And vengeance will he return to his foes, and those who hate him will he repay. Well, the nations are going to be destroyed in the valley of Jehoshaphat, but also what is remaining of the nations. Not all the nations are going to be destroyed, just some of them, because there are many people still around. Some people, they object to the wholesale slaughter of Revelation. They say, well, it can't happen because if God kills everybody, how's there going to be anybody left? Are there going to be any nations left to judge? Well, I think God can take care of that. God knows the number. We can't deny obvious passages of Scripture in order to believe other obvious passages of Scripture. Both obvious passages of Scripture have to be true. The first one that needs to be true is that a third of humanity, a third of the earth burned, a third of the seas found. This is not everybody. It's a third. It's, again, as we talked about back in those days when we were going through that, it is limited. It's always limited. It's not an unbridled fury. So there will be nations. How do I know? Well, Matthew 25 says that he's going to judge the nations. So there are going to be people. How can he slaughter people and still have people? God is a great accountant. He can do it. He can make sure there are enough people left to judge. It's ridiculous. Why are we questioning him? Why would we try to, you know, mitigate one passage and be lavish and lush with another one? Just believe what's written. God can do both things. We have an idea about things, but God's going to do it his way. So the nations have caused Israel to groan in anguish, the wild beast that is. But when salvation comes to Israel and Jehovah becomes their God, they will become a channel of blessing to the nations and will receive, finally, their appreciation and applause. Now, you and I, we are looking forward to the dais of Christ, when we receive our applause from God. Well, Israel is going to receive applause from God as well. Yeah. And it's interesting here that this is looking beyond the bowls. So we have, this is why God is merciful this way. He talks about, shout for joy, ye nations with his people, be strengthened in him, vengeance he will return. This is all talking about a time subsequent to the pouring out of the bowls. And the bowls haven't even come yet. So in a way, that would be comforting. It's like God talking to Christ about what's going to happen when we're all in all. What's going to happen when you return here and you're presented before me in all your majesty? And this conversation is going on the day of his crucifixion. So it's like in Jesus' mind, I don't doubt that this happened. Because it said, Paul says somewhere, for the joy set before him, excuse me, speaking of Christ, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So what's happening here in the Song of Moses is the joy is being set before them before the trial of the cross of the bowls comes. So to me, this is a real mercy. Before the trials of the bowls comes this word of God returning vengeance on their enemies, and there being a shout of rejoicing, and the nations will rejoice with his people. This is on the song of Moses, their man, Moses. God is now using alien people to judge Israel, to judge his nation. But in the end, his nation is going to bless those other nations which persecuted them. Just like us. You be kind to your enemies. That's our message. Because one day your enemies will be rejoicing also with God. And like Joseph, we will be in a position where our enemies will come to us and worship us for what we have become. The Joseph picture, I'm telling you, that is such a picture of not only Christ, I gave this talk in Birmingham, Alabama, but of us, about how those vexing us now, and I'm using this Israel example here, the nations vexing them, and just like Joseph's brothers, vexing him, Joseph goes into slavery in Egypt, Israel is bombarded with the bowls, all the nations are crushing them, and then there's a turnaround. What do you know? Always a turnaround. And in the turnaround, Israel comes back, and when he thinks she's going to just punch the crap out of her enemies, she ends up being the channel of blessing to all the nations. God takes care of the discipline. God takes care of it. Same with Joseph. His brothers came back. Who took care of the discipline? Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, Joseph did a little bit, didn't he? Because he tortured him for a little bit. He put that cup in the sack, and he made him go get baby Benjamin, and so there was a lot of anguish caused by Joseph that helped teach his brothers. But in the end, he couldn't restrain himself, could he? Because he had a love for his brothers. Now, there's no love today between Israel and the nations. Can't see it. If it's there, yeah, I just don't have that much imagination. But crazier things have happened. People who you think are the unlikeliest of friends become friends. Herod and Pilate, right? They became friends after having a common enemy of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that Jesus Christ is going to turn around and bless Herod and Pilate, isn't he? Isn't that going to be a great day when we see that? Yes, there's going to be discipline. Yes, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But after that, that's always my question. People talk about judgment. Martin, what about the judgment of God? Yes, what about the judgment of God? I believe in it. I believe in all the judgments. What about the great white throne? Yes, I believe in it. Some people go to the lake of fire. Yes, of course they do. I try to agree with people as much as I can. Then I slam them with this, and you can do this too. Then I ask, what happens to him next? Yeah, I love that. Nobody's prepared for that one. Martin. Yes. God's going to send people to the lake of fire. Now, and I agree with him. Yeah, I know he is. Yeah, oh, they're going to the lake of fire. Cool. Zing. Then what happens to him? What's the lake of fire?
I don't know.
Of course you don't. It's the second death. Revelation 20:14. What's death?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, it's the absence of life. What's going to happen with death?
Oh, I don't know.
That's going to be abolished so that God can be all in all. See, just keep asking that question when it comes down to judgment. Acknowledge the judgment. Israel, oh my gosh, they're getting hammered, pummeled by the nations. Yep, they sure are. This is a disobedient people. Yep, sure is. Then what happens? What do you mean? Then what happens? What do you mean? Then what happens? Keep asking that question. Well, obviously, some of these disobedient Israelites don't get into the kingdom. Jesus Christ said that. Unless they're born again, they can't see the kingdom of God. I agree, that's true. They can't see the kingdom of God. Nope. Then what happens? Aha! Nobody's ready for that question. Nobody keeps going, keeps looking. Because I have to keep looking until I've reached the glory. I'm not going to stop the film in the middle of this movie, you see, and pretend like that's the end. Because it's a common mistake people make. They see God's judgments and they assume that this is the end. They assume that judgment, because people love judgment, oh, they just get so excited about God judging their enemies. But you were once an enemy of God too, I remind people. You were an enemy of God. You had no conception of God. And God was merciful to you. Well, by that same mercy, he will bring it to others. God has locked up all together in stubbornness, that he should have mercy upon all.